I am on now. Oh, Bill, Pastor Bill is such a blessing to me. I was just reminded, worshiping right beside you, how we worshiped in the Ukraine. I had that during worship. I'm like, we're worshiping in Ukraine, and it's a little different when you can't understand anything that's said. And now they play some of the same songs. And for the life of you, you can't think of the song. And I'm listening to them play, and they're playing, and it's great, but I can't think of any English. So that's where you develop praying in other, singing in other tongues, because Bill and I are just, we're just there worshiping, singing in other tongues, because I can't remember the words. It was quite an experience. But I had totally forgotten about going that down. I didn't have a clue what they wanted. You picked up on it. And I'm like, I don't know. Well, thank you, Jesus. Well, I believe the Lord has given me a sermon for this morning for you. And I'm asking for your help to, fasten your faith that you can receive something. I can receive something that he has for us. And the title this morning is, The World Needs You. Amen. The world needs you.
Yes.
The last several months, the world is completely broken. It's broken. Mm-hmm. And the world needs you to help out of its broken state. Amen. The world needs you, needs Christians like never before. We if there was ever a time that I watched the church get there's a purification or a calling out of the body of Christ, the true believers, to stand up and be who they're supposed to be in this world. There's a lot of people like to call themselves believers and Christians, and a lot of times we're like, but the word tells us to look at their fruit. There's fruit for being a believer.
Yes.
There's fruit in being a believer. It's not just, I'm a Christian. Well, there's more to that. Well, the sifting has begun. And Jesus tells me in Matthew that when you talk about the end being close, it says he talks about the beginning of sorrows. So I came to preach an amazing sermon to you about how we're just in the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning. We need to get used to this. This is the world that we're living in is broken. Sin has broken it. It's not going to be repaired as it is. But there is a Jesus that is that lives in his body, and we're the body.
Amen.
And it's time we act like it. I watched fear run rampant the last couple months. It tried to attack me. It tried to come on me. This fear of a virus that's suddenly this silent killer, and as soon as you show up in a room, you're all just going to die. Wrong.
Amen.
Jesus' blood is still there.
Amen.
Jesus is still alive, the last time I checked.
Yes.
And churches shut down. Pastors ran and cowered. People ran and cowered. They sat in their homes. That's not what the Bible tells me.
Amen.
We're not to sit in our homes. We're supposed to go out and love on people, preach the word, preach the gospel, and give them the good news that Jesus is here and will save them and deliver them.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Yes.
Not to sit in our houses and look at each other and say, we can just go online and listen to a sermon. Last I checked, you can't serve that way.
No.
You can't serve that way. Oh, we're supposed to learn to serve and work with each other and serve in the church. And one way we can really learn to love people is by service and acts of service in church,
yeah.
Right? And you can't do that in your living room. I'm not saying you can't have an anointed time and anointed service in your living room. I'm not saying you can't worship God in your living room. You can, but that should not be the norm.
Yes.
We need each other. You need me, I need you. You know, this last week, being at the Landmark was one of the best. I just really came to a new level of understanding. I need Bill in my life. I need Pastor Dale, Pastor Bill. I need these other men of God in my life. I need to know who I got around me. Because if we want to wrap this up and get this so that Jesus can return and find faith in the earth, then we need each other. We need each other. And it's about time that we overcome fear. It's time we overcome fear. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. The world needs you. The world needs you. It needs people that are willing to risk their life. Now, I want just a quick story about when I decided I had some pressure. You know, we're about 50, 45 to 50 people in Delta, Colorado, and with the children. And, you know, some people didn't think it was a good idea to have church. And so, you know, pastor starts hearing it from this person and that person and every opinion around. And after a while, you got to make a decision. Well, what are we going to do? I mean, Kim's like, yeah, they're asking on WhatsApp, what are we doing for Sunday or Saturday night? We have Saturday night service. I'm like, you put it back there. I didn't say we're closed. I never closed it. So we're having church.
Amen.
The doors are open. But as I made that decision, the spirit of fear tried to get on me. And that night I sat on the couch. I'm sitting on the couch in the living room and I had to deal with it. I had to sit there. First of all, you know, that devil spirit that, well, we got to try to make everybody happy. How many know that is not of God? It's not of God. Well, you know, I really respect that man's opinion and he thinks that I ought to close and I really like him and he's a really nice guy and I believe he's a, you know, all these things rolling through my head. He's actually a lot older than I am. I look to him as a father in some ways, right? And he's saying, hey, we ought to close the church. You know, I really respect his opinion, but what does God say?
Amen.
But then as I'm sitting there on the couch, it's just like, whoosh, you know, like, well, you're going to jail. You're going to prison. You keep the church open. That's where you're headed. What's your wife going to do? What's your children going to do? How are you going to operate? And then the church is closed. And I had to come to the realization, I'll go to jail. Because there is a higher law. Pastor Bill just talked about it a little bit in the introduction. There is a constitutional law we're under. And we have an amendment called the First Amendment. And they can't pass laws saying we can't meet. And if I want to respect my government, that's the first law I'm respecting.
Yes.
And if they never get pushback, guess what? They'll make all kinds of unconstitutional laws. They need people like you, and I'm so happy. I follow some of you on Facebook, so I was like, well, I'm pretty sure they're having church. Glory to God. There's a few of us, you know, out there. And I'm so thankful for that. Men of like precious faith. It's a test of our faith. There's going to be more things that are going to come into our life. And we need to understand this is just the beginning of sorrows, Jesus said. Right? And there's going to be more things that will arrive to test our faith. And we better be with people that are willing to stand up and say, no, no, I'm going to be all about Jesus. I'm going to be all about Jesus. I had a friend of mine tell me, I shared this last night. Some of you may have heard it. But I had a friend of mine that we had a phone conversation. We talk occasionally, and he's spirit-filled, but I'm believing that God will continue to manifest in his life to a greater degree. And so they still go to a fairly religious church, and they're trying to have things happen there. But one thing I noticed is, you know, he's down all the time. Because it matters who you hang out with. You need to hang out with people that are victorious. You got to hang out with people that are they believe in the power of God. And so I'm talking to him. I hadn't talked to him in several months. I'm talking to him on the phone. And he's like, yeah, Jay, he's like, you know, our church closed, and we just had such a precious time at home, you know, with the family, and it's just an amazing time. And I'm like, well, I'm really glad you had such an amazing time, but I mean, your church is terrible. If it's so much better in your living room, then you go to the wrong church. I mean, there's this what we had this morning, this amazing time of worship, had believers coming together. There's people, you know, last night in the prayer room, I had a brother speak directly to me and say this, and it was a sentence long. I need that. I don't get that in my living room. I don't get that in my living room. You know, we need to attend church that is ready to house the power of God. Well, here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. It's about time you get salty. The world needs you to be salty. Now, I used to read Western books, and salty meant something a little bit different than what I'm meaning right now. Salty meant, you know, don't mess with them. Like he was probably in a bad mood, like he could really fight, that kind of thing. Well, there's parts of that that I am meaning. We're salty because we flavor something differently, because we flavor things with the power of Jesus. And so when the world comes up and begins to tell us, you need to do this, you need to do that, this is how you got to look, this is how, I mean, they're telling you how to dress in a lot of ways, right? That little piece of cloth over your mouth. I got delivered on being told how to dress. And, well, this is going to help, and you got to do this, and this is how it's got to be, and you have to do it this way, and scientists are arguing. It's not backed by science. Scientists are arguing on whether you should or you shouldn't, and they flip-flop back and forth. Yeah, and that in 1 month it's you're supposed to, and the next month it doesn't matter, and back and forth we go. It's the world. And, oh, by the way, I believe in the power of Jesus that heals my body. And so I'm going to preach healing, and I'm going to preach deliverance from all kinds of sickness and disease, and then I'm going to walk around and testify to everybody that I believe the opposite, or I'm doing the opposite. No, that's not going to happen for me. The world needs you to share Jesus. You need to be salty. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And this is what's really interesting. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. We watch people getting trampled. We watch churches getting trampled. We watch pastors getting trampled. You know, if the church would have rose up and said, no, this is not how we operate. We operate in the power of Jesus. Things would have been different. Things would have been different the last couple months. And if they can get everybody to cower in the last several months, they're going to try it again. Amen. That the enemy, you know, people are like, well, you know, the devil, he's not really that smart. He doesn't have to be. It's duped people for thousands of years. He just does the same thing over and over again, and people fall for it every single time. He doesn't have to be that smart. He's like, oh yeah, that worked for 6,000 years. We'll try it again. And man falls for it. We need to learn to hang around salty people. We need to hang around flavored people. We're going to flavor the world with Jesus. We're going to flavor the world with the Holy Spirit. The healing power of God. You know what? There's people, you go shopping. I noticed people are scared. You don't see a whole lot of their face, but you can see they're scared in their eyes. And you know, then you come along and maybe you're not dressed like them. and you know, always walk in love in these things. You don't have to be harsh because they truly are afraid. And then you can speak to them, be gentle with them, walk in love with them. And you know what? You have a chance to minister the love of Jesus. There is more chances to minister the love of Jesus right now than there probably ever has before, because they understand that it's not working and they're scared and they're broken and they know it's broken.
Yes.
And you begin to minister to their heart. Look for the opportunity to be salty. Look for the opportunity to bring the light of Jesus or Jesus to them, and do not get trampled. It's easy to get trampled. The world will run you over. Right now we got the cancel culture going on and it's running people over. Even people that believe alike are getting trampled. Did you notice that? If you don't say you can give in to it and it's not good enough. They're eating their own. You know, well, you apologize, but you didn't apologize enough. Oh, yeah, well, you said that statement, but you didn't say enough. And then after a while, it comes out, the enemy's trying to divide. Well, you can't even say that statement because you don't have the right color of skin. That's the enemy. The enemy is trying to make it a racial issue. He's constantly bringing it up on the color of skin. The last time I checked, we bleed red. Every one of us. And Jesus is about bringing people together. And you watch this divisiveness. You watch this division. Two visions. Division. Right? You watch two visions happening on. The enemy has a plan. But you know what? We have some salt left on the earth. I found some this morning. I found some salt this morning, and they haven't lost flavor. You guys are good at cooking steak, right? Pastor Bill has an amazing sermon, has amazing steak, and you guys just get some more salt on there, right? And you flavor it, and you're able to chew it, you're able to digest it, and God begins, the Holy Spirit work makes a difference in your life. Keep on reading, verse 14. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I knew that. But, you know, the last couple months makes you think twice about shining a light. Right? You're like, well, you know, I don't know if I want to say that. I'm not sure if I want to do that. I don't know. I've thought I'm the light. I am, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. If your light's shining on the hill, you can't be hidden. And what's happening with the world situation is it's obviously it's getting darker. You're going to shine brighter. As you shine brighter, you're going to have the opportunity to stay bright and lit. Or you have the opportunity to do what it says here and hide under a bushel. Well, we know in our houses we don't do that. I mean, we put our light in the middle of the room. Did you know, one ever wonder why the light's often in the middle of the room? It's so that it lightens up the room, right? No shadows, no, it's in the middle. Well, you are the light of the world. And part of being the light is not allowing the enemy to gain that foothold in your life and cowering in the dark. If there ever was a time we need young people, young men, to stand up in this world, it's now. You know, I don't even know your names. You probably told me. But I watch these young men come to the Landmark every year. I love it. Men of God. And as they come to the Landmark every year, they sit there and receive. And I just understand, realize how important. We were just sharing with, we had some people from Colorado come in this year. We were sharing with them that part of the reason we are where we are is because we made this a priority. And we made that a priority not that, oh, wow, we're great. We just somehow had the spiritual sense to rub elbows with people that we're connected with. And, you know, I watch friends derail. I watch acquaintances, you know, and even people that have an interest, you know, they're like, oh, we're spirit-filled. We believe like you. But I watch them circle around in left field aimlessly because they don't connect. You know, if you ever flew, a lot of times at night, you know, you fly over the United States and you'll see a collection of lights, right? Sometimes wide expanse of darkness and then a collection of lights. It's time we all get on the hill. We all, I mean, you're shining, get on the right hill with the right people, and then you know what? With Jesus, Jesus being your light, and then you're not there trying to put it under a bushel. See, the enemy goes around, the word tells us that the devil goes around looking whom he may devour. Now, he goes around and he acts like a lion, right? He isn't even the lion. Do you ever notice that? Now, when I watch the Discovery Channel and I watch lions hunt, they don't hunt the entire herd. They pick one, but it's not the strongest. It's not the ones in the front of the herd. They wait for the stragglers in the back that are all by themselves, and then they start picking them off, taking them down, and they have dinner. And that's exactly what the enemy does with Christians. He walks around, and that's how we become weak. And that's exactly what the world was trying to get the church to be. Let's all separate. Let's all, you know, they know, the enemy knows there's power in when people get together. And so let's separate. Let's put everybody away from each other. Let's make sure they can't communicate very well. They don't feel things aren't as normal. And if they're away, then we can attack with fear. And then we definitely don't want to leave our house. And if we leave our house, I mean, last time I checked, going outdoors was healthy. It doesn't even make sense. The last time I checked, going outdoors was something, you know, you go out, ride your bike, and get a little exercise, go for a walk. Those things are all healthy, and suddenly it's healthy to stay indoors. Something's wrong with that picture. It's not right. And in other words, the enemy's up to something no good. And we need to be full of light enough, salty enough, to recognize it. And if you hang out with Pastor Bill, he'll help you. If you hang out with Randy, he'll help you. If you hang out with the right people, they'll help you. Philip back here, Philip, I asked you what you go by. I love watching you worship. I mean, you get just fired up watching him. I come here to the Landmark. Now, to this Landmark, didn't think about it. We must not sat around. But I remember coming here to the Landmark. We'd, you know, sit around here, and Phil would be up here in the second row, third row. And man, he worships God with his whole being. And you look at him, and you just want to work out. I just want to go to the gym. Well, that's how it ought to be, hanging around with men of God. You want to, you know, that spirit of the Lord gets off on you. And you want to go home and you want to exercise. You want to learn the word. You want to learn what God has for you. You dig into it. Faith rises. There's a spirit of victory. There's a spirit of victory that happens in your life. Let's turn to... the world needs you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. You know, I didn't finish here in Matthew. I'll read this, and then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 6. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, the light on a hill will bring glory to God. And you're going to have a different work than the world. Amen? You're going to have a different work. You're not going to have the same work. You know, last I checked, you know, the world's... performance based, and I was in construction for a lot of years, and we had deadlines, and you had to meet these deadlines or else it was a lot of pressure. The world thrives under pressure. And a lot of times they do that to get performance out of people. Well, sometimes in our Christian life, we can drag that into our Christian life. And the last time, we have two fruit trees in our yard, pear trees. I have yet to walk by them, and they're just out there just squeezing out pears. Just, you can just hear them try to make a pear. Hasn't happened yet. And every year we have a bountiful pear harvest. We don't even really like pears. We pray to God that this new property, we're going to plant some peach trees. And we're like, we like peaches. Why wouldn't you plant a peach tree? But I have yet for them to be out there and just squeezing out fruit. But see, the world will try to teach you to do that. The world's way is to performance, make something happen. Well, if you're filled with the light of Jesus, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit is in you. It's in you. So a lot of people say, well, Pastor, can you pray so that I have more love? This is my answer. Yes, you should pray. You need to bow your head, look down, realize Jesus is in you and the love's there. Right? You know, they want an anointing to give them love. Well, it's in them. Just like the pear tree, it's in its DNA for fruit to happen. Spring happens, flowers happen. They get pollinated, fruit happens. It's in your DNA for fruit to come out. And if being born again, having the light of Jesus, being filled with the power of His Spirit, that fruit manifests itself out of you. The problem is we a lot of times don't allow it to manifest. We're shutting it down. And that's what we got to understand, that the Holy Spirit, let Him get that fruit out of you. So if you need more love, say, thank you, Jesus. This is your prayer. Thank you, Lord, you've given me all the love in me, and help me have it manifest or come out of me, instead of saying, Lord, please give more love. Right? It's there. And we need to allow Him and get ourselves out of the way. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, I felt that I wanted to go there and show you a little bit on the weapons that we have and that we've been given so that we can be the light that we're supposed to be. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, it's time Christians get born again, filled with the Spirit, and act like Christians. It's time they you know, a lot of times, well, I don't go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites and they don't, you know, Christians always burn me. And sadly, that often happens. You know, they say they're Christians and then they turn around and stab people in the back or they mistreat people. It's time we allow that fruit to get out and use and fight the way we're supposed to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Talking about the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. See, a lot of times in a world where we need light to shine, we forget pieces of our armor. There's a reason He says put on the whole armor. See, we got to have the whole armor on us. Well, Pastor, I don't understand that. How could I run out without the right, correct armor? Well, there is, as we be the light, you know, this different pieces of armor is what helps that light to shine and be what it's supposed to be. Yeah, I understand there's warfare involved, and we got to understand we're not fighting people within the last couple months. Understand that. But we need to understand that it takes this armor for us to really have the light manifest and the fruit manifest in your life. The fruit manifest. For you to be the light, you need to be equipped to be the light. Right? You got to and this is an understanding and growing in the knowledge that He has for us. And understanding that it takes the entire armor. We can't forget a piece. If I forget a piece, I not only do a disservice to myself, but I also do a disservice to the person beside me and behind me and with me. I've been part, you know, starting a church. It's been, surprisingly, it's been 10 years since you're out there, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, I know in my spirit sometimes who's supposed to be there and be a part of it. As a pastor, you'll know those things. And people refuse to submit to the lordship of Jesus, or they just get carried off into something else. And I always wonder, I'm like, and you know, I believe God supernaturally can bring somebody else alongside, and they're, you know, but something was missed because that person wasn't obedient. That person didn't show up. They didn't plug in because God, as the body, we don't get to choose what we want to be. We don't get to choose that. He chooses how to place us in the body. So when he chooses to put us in a place, your light is affected by being in the right place. You are affected correctly. You're salty by being in the right place with the right people. And a lot of times, well, you know, I don't like their worship, or I don't like this, and I don't know if I like the building. I remember somebody come out, well, we were meeting at the American Legion Hall, and it had no windows. Well, we don't come because it doesn't have any windows. Okay. Well, I don't have the authority to make windows in this building. It's not our building, right? And later found out that they rented the building because it didn't have windows. So it was for something different, and they were glad it didn't have windows. You know, people will find any excuse sometimes to get out of the will of God. If they're not submitted, they'll find excuses to get out of the will of God. But, you know, that person's missing something, and we're missing something from that person, right? Now, God can bring other people. You know, over 4 years ago, we had an assistant pastor that had come in alongside of us, and thank God, God's restored relationships. But you know, he decided he's going to leave, and that hurt. You know, and I'm sure Pastor Bill's had experiences. Some of you have had experiences, but it felt a little bit like the second row behind me. You know, instead of fighting the enemy as they're marching into battle, I got stabbed in the back. Oops, right? And so I'm, you know, I'm pretty hurt and crying, and finally, it's about a month went by. Month went by, and I'm rolling and tossing and can't sleep, and I'm up at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And I'm just like, Lord, why can't he be part of the team? I just don't understand. Finally, the Lord showed me, and he did this in a I enjoy football. I guess God does too. And just may not be your team. So God just showed me in the middle of the night. He's like, he spoke to me very clearly in this way. He said, as a football team, you need your offensive line to play quarterback, don't you? I'm like, yes, sir. Well, what if your left tackle refuses or doesn't want to be on the team? Do you want him as your left tackle? I'm like, no. My head could get taken off by the defensive end coming around the end. If he doesn't want to be on the team, then I'm not here to force him to be on the team. I sort of want him to play left tackle. I sort of want him to want to protect me. And I was like, huh, wow. You know, if they don't want to be here, whether, you know, maybe it may be out of the will of God or not getting into that, but if they don't want to be a part of this, then why am I crying that they're not on the team, that they're not here? So I just released them. Well, just about a year after that, we met a couple at a pastor's conference supernaturally. God just knit our hearts together. And they moved 1,000 miles to serve with us. It's supernatural for somebody to move 1,000 miles. And they've been such a blessing in our lives. They've been so amazing. And they have told us over and over again. They said, you know, when I when they first moved, it floored me. I'm going, dear Lord, what, you're moving out here. We had about, I don't know, 12 people. And I'm like, Lord, what are they moving to? 12 people. Well, they were just being obedient. And as they moved out there, they've told us over and over again, they're like, you know, it matters who we hang out with. They're like, we wouldn't be this way if we wouldn't have been obedient. And I'm so thankful that God can supernaturally replace people. But I still wonder sometimes, what could have it been? Because I believe if the right people get together, your light is shinier. It's brighter. It manifests more. The anointing is greater. The Holy Spirit does more work, more amazing works. There is a greater work that ends up happening because people are in the right place at the right time. Some of you heard me say that several times this week. That has been really churning in my spirit. I am so thankful for the men God put in my life. And it saved me. If I want to shine my light in this dark world, I got to be with the right people. I thank God for my wife. I mean, I'm at 18 years old. My friend, one of my buddies, started dating a girl. And, you know, I was a third wheel. So I got to go along and hang out with them sometimes. And I'm rolling my eyes by, you know, I'm listening to them talk. And he'd be like, well, honey, where do you want to go to lunch? And she's like, I don't know, wherever you want to go. I'm sitting there in the back seat going, you know what? I'm going to marry a girl that has an opinion. I would like to have a woman that knows where to go to lunch. And so they'd sit there, well, I don't, I'll just do what you want to do. Well, I'll just do what you want to do. And I just back and forth. And I'm just back there going, dear Lord, let's just get to a restaurant. I'm hungry. And I made up my mind, I want a woman. My desire for a girlfriend that can be my wife is somebody that actually knows what she wants. Well, you know what? Now I'm very thankful for that. Because she ends up being my counterbalance. She ends up being, you know, I bounce things off of her. I say, Lord, am I missing it here? We've just had experiences where I've learned, you know what? If she's not on board, I'm not going forward. Unless I have a direct word of the Lord. You know, obviously the Lord is my Lord. If he specifically tells me and says, Jay, this is how what you need to do, I'm going to be obedient to that. But you know, the interesting thing about it, we've done this time and time again where we have not necessarily agreed or we didn't even know. And we said, you pray about it today, I'm going to pray about it today. And by evening we agreed. That's the Holy Spirit. That's so we can work together. Because as we work together, we're going to make more of an impact. The light's going to shine brighter. And we ought to work together, right? We ought to be, I've got myself in trouble. Every time I've run off and done my own thing, it just never quite works. And you can call it intuition or whatever you want, but there's just times I value my wife, how she hears from God. She hears from God also, and I need to value that. Glory to God. Somebody needed that. Thank you, Lord. Well, here in the whole armor of God, is this clock working? Oh, there we go. Because it says 4:45. And I've glanced at this several times, and I still had 15 minutes. Because I was thinking, I was just watching the one hand, and I'm going, well, I've got 15 minutes. Well, I got 15 minutes. Well, I still have 15 minutes. I love this church. Pastor Bill, it's just unending preaching. Thank you, Jesus. You would get up and say, okay, it's enough, right? Thank you, thank you. But the reason we need the whole armor of God, I'm going to close with this, is that so you can stand against the strategies, wiles, the strategies of the enemy. The enemy has strategies. He had a strategy the current events. He had a strategy. He is trying to shut down the church of Jesus, the body of Christ. He is trying to keep us from operating in the power we need to operate. And I need you to realize that and to step out and say, absolutely not, not in York County. Not in the city of York, not in York County, not in Lancaster County, not in the state of Pennsylvania. We answer to a higher law, Jesus. We answer to a higher law, and it's our Constitution, not some whim of a law that some politician decides to put in place and then uses strategic language to make you think it's a law when it actually isn't a law. We need to understand that. There's a strategy. There's a strategy, and if we're with the right people at the right place and at the right time, we will recognize those strategies and we will not be duped. And we will not succumb to the world. You know, growing up, I used to be told, well, if you wear this, it's worldly. If you wear that, it's worldly. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says you don't think like the world. And the part of the reason we renew our mind and understand, what need to understand what Scripture says is so our mind is, we no longer think the same way we used to think. We think differently than the world thinks. And we're not on their program. Never have been, never will be. We're on the program of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's what I have this morning. Bill, I didn't even talk to you about how you close, just how the Spirit leads. Let's stand to our feet, and I'm going to turn it back over to Bill. Thank you, Pastor. That was awesome.